is Local Talk on KHUI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kay Patrick, your host today. Hello to you, our listener, and welcome to Local Talk. Today's program features several segments that focus on our local schools. We'll be hearing from different guests about various initiatives that promote tolerance and inclusivity in our schools. In the second half of the show, we'll hear about a creative project that is building understanding and tolerance at Edwards School. The idea was dreamed up by a parent whose daughter had become nervous about growing intolerance around her. But first, let's hear about a program that helps make schools safer and more accepting for all students, particularly students that identify as gay, lesbian, or transgender. In this recorded interview, I spoke with Sandra Zapata, who's the program coordinator of Iowa Pride Network, which offers training in bullying prevention and also leadership for advocacy in LGBTQ issues. Would you like, first of all, to just describe what you do?
What the program is assigned to do is to work specifically with LGBTQ students and their allies to make sure that schools have safe spaces for them to be themselves. We provide a lot of leadership workshops and opportunity for students to learn how to be advocates for themselves within their schools.
Yeah, and you have training and social events to help train students and faculty. And when I was looking at your website, I learned quite a lot, actually. First of all, LGBTQ month, or LGBTQ History Month, is in October. So there's 31 days. And for each of those days, you have what you call an icon. That's a notable celebrated person, one for each day of the month, who was gay, or including, for example, Virginia Apuzzo, a former nun who became a gay activist, the dancer Josephine Baker, David Bowie, the neurologist Oliver Sacks, and I was surprised to see President Buchanan, too. So you have that on your website. You have all sorts of resources available for students.
So one of the big ways in which we teach students on being advocates is to know the history of LGBTQ rights in the States, and to paint a picture of these are subjects that influence their lives and the way that their community works. So the more they know about their community and the more resources they have available, the easier it will be for them to counteract any myths or any negative stereotypes that may be out there in the community against them.
So what particular things about gay history or LGBTQ history do you emphasize?
I think it's important for us to know where the movement started and why it needs to be inclusive of every other person out there. Sometimes we think of the LGBTQ movement in a very specific way, but we need to make sure that we are also talking about LGBTQ individuals who are Muslim, who are immigrant, who are in other intersections in their life. So the more we know about the history and how it became a movement for equality, the better we can prepare ourselves to battle negative stereotypes. So a lot of organizations were involved in making sure that students are safe in their environment. We know that, unfortunately, a lot of our students may not be safe to be out at their homes or their communities. So GSAs, Gay Straight Alliances, or Gender and Sexuality Alliances become that space where they can talk about who they are and be open with others about their experiences or they're questioning their sexuality, whatever whatever they happen to be at the time.
Yeah, now maybe we should say what GSAs are. It can stand for two things, Gay Straight Alliance or Gender and Sexuality Alliance. Yes. What exactly are they?
So Gay Straight Alliances or Gender and Sexuality Alliances are clubs, and they are student-led, which means that the students are responsible to inform themselves, and they are responsible for what they want it to look like. So if they want to do advocacy, it's up to them to figure out what kind of advocacy would better benefit their schools or their communities. If they wanted to be maybe more social, that's also an option. Sometimes it's easier for students to feel safe if there is a more social aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have our curriculum online, to make sure that they have at least some topics ready
mm-hmm.
for them to look at and discuss in group. And we often find that in order for students to become advocates, they need to have safety first,
of
right?
Course.
So
yes.
Often clubs start being out as gatherings and mostly social interactions until they feel like they can support each other outside of that one club.
Mm-hmm.
We often see that progression happen. It will start with students being social and getting to know each other and making sure that they're safe, and then that you will move outside of their room and maybe start educating other students about LGBTQ history, or maybe a more vocal effort to stop harassment or bullying of all students.
Yes. Well, as you mentioned, there can be all sorts of intersections there with race and other minority issues.
Absolutely.
So when you're working on bullying prevention or bullying awareness, you want students to feel safe, whatever their race, ancestry, gender, or whatever, sexual orientation.
Right. And we have a very open conversation with our students about intersectionality and what it means for them. What it means to be welcoming of everybody else out there. And we found that even if students may not get along outside of their club, they make an effort to be open and supportive within their GSA, even if outside of that one group they don't necessarily see eye to eye.
Could you give sort of example about that? Why might they? You mean they don't see eye to eye on other things in general, maybe politics or?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of different conversations that students may have outside of GSA where they may not necessarily agree.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen clubs where two individuals had a verbal interaction that was negative a year prior to GSA. So when they came in the first time together
history,
in the same
yeah.
room, the entire group had a conversation about, you know, whatever happened in the past needs to be outside of this room. And they really embraced making sure that whatever negativity they had against each other didn't come in within their meeting.
But once they've become members of the same group, presumably they would also get on
right.
outside the group, yeah. Now, one of the things you do is to help schools that haven't gotten to start GSAs.
Yes.
You also have offer trainings and social events.
Right. So we offer trainings to schools and educators
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they know what language is more inviting for LGBTQ students, to make sure that they know what policies will work best, as research shows, when they're trying to create a more inclusive environment for the school itself. So we provide this training largely free of charge
mm-hmm.
for educators, because the purpose is to help them be more open and maybe just understand the LGBTQ community a little bit better, so that they can be more maybe accepting
mm-hmm.
of students as they come out or they share their sexual orientation or their gender identity.
Yeah, actually, talking of terminology, some of these terms, I don't know if this is the kind of thing you had in mind, they're a little, I don't know whether they're sort of synonyms or they really indicate different things. Like, I mean, I'm puzzled about this. Gender expansive, gender inclusive, gender fluid. These are some terms I've come across.
Right.
Are these sort of synonyms or?
So gender is not very black and white the way we've seen it in the past. Usually we think of gender as male or female. And we speak of gender in a more fluid way.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're imagining, you know, one box for male and one box for female. Well, there's some space in between there that represents other folk. That,
so it's like two intersecting circles or something with a...
With almost, a, almost. It's more of a spectrum.
Oh, that's
so to get from one place to another, there's a whole lot of different identities in between those two. So it's a more fluid, more spectrum-like.
So use the word spectrum there. That is, I suppose, the symbolism of the rainbow there?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sort of sense. Yeah. Okay. So you make students and everyone in general more aware of these kind of things.
Absolutely. And so sometimes what happens is that a very common practice is for educators to group students, male and female groups. We know that that can be very triggering for someone who's transgender and may not be out, right?
Oh, right. I mean, in elementary school teachers, at least in my day, they were saying, well, boys and girls.
Right.
Instead
absolutely.
Of, they can say students. Or...
So that happens. That happens often. And as an example, that's one of the conversations that we have. If someone happens to have a trans student in their group who has not shared that information, they may feel triggered because, well, do they go with the gender that they were assigned at birth? Do they know? Or do they go with the gender that they best identify with?
Mm-hmm.
So just having those conversations of, by removing those gender groups, you can be more inclusive by selecting students by numbers, maybe, or any other way that doesn't necessarily speak of their bodies or their gender.
Right, right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that would, I'm straight, but that would have felt more comfortable to me when I was, you know, just as a female.
Absolutely.
But when I was in school. You know, there were all these assumptions about what boys did and what girls did and so on.
Right. And because there are so many people who are really not going to subscribe to any of those expectations,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that language is as gender neutral as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that there are expectations for genders. And in a... So we can better advocate for students to be more of who they are by removing that language and giving them the ability to pick and do what they are more interested in.
Now, some of the other events you have, and we've talked a little bit about LGBTQ month. There's also a day of silence, which is always a Friday in April.
A lot of students choose to participate by not speaking for that day, and it's meant to symbolize all the people who have been silenced because of violence.
Mm-hmm.
They may choose to not speak on that day, and often they will have cards that explain the reason behind it. Some educators will embrace that, and some won't. So they have to really try to explain why they're doing what they're doing and try to bring across why this is important to them. So it can be a little bit tricky figuring out schools and different educators. A lot of students do participate, and they will have that conversation with their teachers in advance and make sure that they know why they're involved in this one particular demonstration, and they can work out if there's absolutely something that needs to be turned in or spoken about. They will have to make that choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see it might be rather disruptive. I suppose it's meant to be up to a point.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of demonstrations are supposed to bring attention to to the stigma or the conversation itself.
Well, something that nobody, I would think, would object to, you also have something called No Name Calling Week.
Right.
It should be that way all year, I suppose.
Right.
You have a week of it.
So ideally, we want that to be the environment
mm-hmm.
that we live in. However, that week really serves as a reminder that not calling anyone outside of their name should be an expectation. And it provides a highlight to that, to avoiding that behavior.
How do they go about highlighting this then? Do they have special posters or how do they do this?
We have some movies that come out just for that week that are open and available for free to be used by the students. Sometimes they will wear a certain color on different days, or they will sign pledges as students promising that for this week they will be more intentional about avoiding that behavior. So it will look different for different schools, depending on the ability that they have, the time that they put into, and how organized the student group is themselves.
Yes, I remember when my son, who is also straight, but when he was quite small, and you know, in elementary school, there was this term gay that seemed to be going around. People just tossed this out. It was sort of a general insult. I don't think they had a clue what it meant. And I just said, what are you saying? What do you think that means? And he said, oh, he's just weird. Or sometimes it meant, you know, oh, he reads Playboy. That was, these were little kids.
Right.
You know, and but it was just, they didn't know. But they, this was a term that was put down.
Right.
And not even knowing what it meant.
Right. See it today being used negatively. But hopefully we have given out information to our students so they know how to address it.
Yeah, well, as I say, it seems sad that it's required to have a week of no-name calling. It seems strange also that a law was required to say there shouldn't be bullying, or, you know, you've got to have procedures to prevent bullying. That seems, it seems so obvious that teachers and so on should prevent bullying, but I guess it makes those procedures clearer.
Right, and it makes sure that the conversations that are happening around the school focus on this one problem. Hopefully it is being embraced throughout the year. This is just a more thought-out process of figuring out how to be more proactive about it.
Talking about the different events that are coming up, there's a leadership summit I saw on the One Iowa website, and also Student Day at the Capitol.
So those two are, they're our biggest events throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
We have, during the spring, we have the spring semester, that is, we have Student Day at the Capitol, where we take students to be trained on how to speak to their legislators and how to really code their message so it's received better. We don't tell them what to advocate for. We just give them the training on
how to do it effectively.
Yeah. And then we take them to the Capitol and help them find their legislators, so that they can have a conversation about whatever it is that they're advocating for on that day.
And how about the Leadership Summit?
The Leadership Summit is really an entire day of networking for the students to find other students maybe in the area or students that they can work with. We have conversations about intersectionality and safe sex. Sex education is not required in a lot of schools, and the conversation about LGBTQ safety sometimes is not brought up. So we have conversations about safety, we have conversations about bullying intervention and mental health. So whatever the students tell us that they want to learn more about throughout the year, we make an effort to bring speakers and workshops that will cater to our students and then teach them about their rights. So it's an entire day of workshops for them to make connections and learn advocacy skills.
Do you have any trainings for teachers and administrators?
Yes, we have two different tracks. We have one track for students. So we will have certain workshops that are exclusive for our students, and then we have some that are only for the adults in their lives.
Okay. Do you have many straight allies in your experience in your different GSAs?
Yes. A lot of allies are involved because maybe they have a family member who is LGBTQ, or their families, their moms or their dads or their siblings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them is just because they want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to be themselves.
Right.
So the reason for students to be allies are very different. But at the end, they're really trying to be inclusive of everybody who's there.
Now, if people want to know more about the Leadership Summit or the Student Day at the Capitol or any of this, they should look at the Iowa Pride Network, right?
Yes. And they should also follow us on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
That's really where we communicate with our students. Any event that we have coming up will be posted on our website.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Talking to Sandra Zapata, who's the program coordinator of Iowa Pride Network. Thank you again, Sandra.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk, and I'm your host, Kay Puttock. Before we go on to our next interviews about schools and inclusivity, let's take a brief music break. Evan Taylor is engineering our program today, and he's also a music buff, and he's made some choices for us, some music choices, and he's got some news about the local music scene and KHOI's upcoming fun drive.
That's correct, Kay. We have a funds drive that is coming up starting on April 9th, and part of that funds drive is we have a lot of live music that happens here at the Pantorium building. So far, we have a couple of confirmations for those concerts, including Sean Houston, Jin McClung, and a personal favorite, Mountain Eats Mountain, which is a looper set done by Adam Lyons of the popular Ames band, Dr. Murdoch. And, of course, we have more to be announced, but what we're going to be playing today is an excerpt from our Pantorium Sessions concert that occurred during our membership drive this past fall on November 15th. This is New America by Ben Schrog and Cal Ribune.
It's the way that they smile with their foot on your throat, like they know something you don't. They look through you like a ghost. Do they know something you don't? Don't you doubt it. Don't you doubt it now. It's the way that the head's too big for the crown. You gotta get out of this town. Drip, drip, drip till you drown. Gotta get out of this town. Don't you doubt it. Don't you doubt it now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's okay. It's okay. Ground when no one else is around. It's the way the bone breaking makes no sound when no one else is around. Don't you doubt it. Don't you doubt it now. Grocery store, looking over your shoulder.
Now it's time for our regular monthly guest, Kathy Hansen of the Ames Community School District. Today, Kathy has some special guests for us. Would you like to introduce them, Kathy?
I have with me today several students from Edwards Elementary School, and they want to tell you about a project they did last month called the Unity Chain. And what I like about this is we have an opportunity when we come to this station to tell the community about all the things that go on in our schools that may not show up yet on standardized tests or reports. There's a lot of things that go on with relationships and community building and learning, and this is an example of that. So I have with me today Soko Starobin, who is a mother, a parent who helped organize the project, the Unity Chain. I have Eileen, Daniel, Mira, and Ifani, and they're going to tell you about the project, what they learned, and how it brought them all closer together.
Okay, who'd like to start here? Maybe we should start with Soko, the parent, and ask her what made her feel the need. I think it was your idea, Soko, right? What gave you the idea for this project?
Well, thank you so much for inviting me this morning.
It's certainly lovely to have you.
Thank you. End of the last year, around the election time, I felt the country has been divided, and I think that's being said overly in the media, as we all know. And I felt like I would like to do something at the school level. If I, as a parent, feel this divisiveness in the country or the community, I thought about, well, I can't imagine the impact on children. And they don't show what's going on. Unlike adults, it's difficult to cognitively acknowledge what is going mm-hmm. on. So I thought maybe that some simple activities will give them opportunity to think about what the friendship connection beyond the classroom the learning opportunities, right? So let's say they're on a classroom roster or school affiliations. I'm a someone's classroom and at the Edward Elementary School. But beyond that, how can I push them to think about the real collaboration, connection, empathy, humanity, and caring, those things in this difficult time? So that was the impetus for me to do something.
Okay. And maybe someone would like to tell us what project you came up with. Who'd like to begin? How about you, Ailey? What did you do for this project?
We wrote on a sheet of paper what we think we should do to bring our community together to have peace.
Yeah, I believe you had worksheets to take home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone else wants to chime in, just give us a sign and we'll move the microphones around. Well, there's a microphone in front of Daniel now. So I'm going to ask you, Daniel. I believe you took worksheets home with you?
Yes, and they were little. First, we had off these little yellow chains, but we could make another chain if we wanted to.
Uh-huh. So you had strips of paper that you made into paper chains, like the ones you make at Christmas to hang on the tree or whatever.
Yeah.
And you took these home, and I believe there were questions to think about, and you could write on your strips that were going to be made into a chain. Is that right? Okay. And let's just jump to the time when the chain was finished. How big was this chain?
Almost taking it the... If it was probably stretched out, it could probably take up the... So we have a gigantic lunchroom, so it could probably take about the wide of the lunchroom
the
to the other.
Wow.
Yeah, because as soon as you enter the school, it's a lunchroom.
Uh-huh.
Well, the chain could probably, if it was stretched out, be as long as it was, like, to the side of the hallway where you go to your class and then the other side.
Wow, so it more than covered the wall of the lunchroom?
Yeah.
So a very long chain, all made up of these strips of paper.
Yep.
On which the kids had written different things, right? Everyone's nodding at this. So. Okay. Well, I suppose it's time to tell us some of the things you wrote on your links of chain. This is Mira. What did you write, Mira?
I wrote who I was thankful for and who I honored. And so one of the words I wrote down was kindness and sharing. And who I honored Martin Luther King Jr. And then I also was inspired by my cousin Kent.
Could you explain why?
Because he's really smart and he's won a lot of contests.
I see.
And then for Martin Luther King Jr., he helped end the segregation of black and white people.
Uh-huh. Right. So I just want to get this straight. Everyone wrote their own name on one of the links in the chain. Is that right? And then they wrote a word like kindness or... What other kind of words did you put? Yes? Ailey?
In our school, I wrote, say yes to everyone because we're not allowed to say no if people want to play with us.
I see. Well, that's very nice. I can remember that when I was in elementary school. People said they didn't want to play with you. It's very hurtful. And it's so easy to say yes to people, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you put say yes. It's very nice. What did some other people write? How about you, Ifan?
I wrote loyalty, and I honored Martin Luther King because I thought that he was a great man because he ended the segregation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very courageous man too. This is Kathy Hansen again.
This was also a family project. Soko had the idea that if the students could do it with their parents, everybody could learn together and think about the importance of this process, not just for the schools, but for the whole community and for families, too.
So, and we do have a couple of parents here with us. I wonder if I can get one of you or both of you to say something. Let's have a parent now. Introduce yourself first.
My name is Diamond Anderson, and I was just surprised that they put him in the newspaper for his essay about the
Martin Luther King. You're looking at your son here.
Yes, Ifeanyi Odom. Yeah. Yes, and I was just surprised he put a part of his article in there. I didn't know that they appreciated his literature that much.
So your essay, Ifeanyi, about Martin Luther King appeared in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And how about the other parent here?
I'm Nisa Goodman, Eileen's mom. And it was just great. We would talk about, I kind of talked about Martin Luther King Jr. and his ideas on peace and unity and kind of what stood out to me for him and what was impactful for me. And then I just talked to her about what she thought, and she went ahead and wrote what she wanted to write on the chain. So it really came from her through our conversation at home.
Yes, so, this is Soko again.
I would like to acknowledge that Nisa just spoke. She was a wonderful, wonderful supporter for me. I reached out to her because I didn't know how to logistically can be done. So I wrote the email to the teacher, Mrs. Hanway, and spoke to Nisa about how we can take this as a almost like a school event. So she reached out to PTO, and she's sitting in the board of the Edwards Elementary PTO, and then also encouraged me to contact with Mr. Peterson, the principal of the school. So it became a school-wide, and also with the help of Nisa, we were able to ask of copies. The PTO reached out to the local copy shop to donate the banner to go with the chain at the display of the school. So I wanted to acknowledge that not only this is just a me doing it, but there are many people helped me to get this as a school-wide activity. So thank you.
Okay, yes. It must have taken a lot of organization. I can see that. And everyone's nodding again. And I believe somehow you got this to fit into the regular school curriculum. Is that right?
Yes. Soko actually is an educator herself. And this actually fits in some way with the social studies grade level expectations almost at every level of the school. So it's just an example of, with a little bit of thought and extra effort, we can do things that build on inclusivity without making them an add-on, you know, make them authentic ways to engage with everything we're doing. So Soko was a great leader in helping us think of ways, and I'm hoping that this is an example of things we can do at every level of our schools to incorporate things that bring people together and families together as part of the learning process so that the learning is very authentic. Mm-hmm. And meets the expectations on very many levels without adding something that imposes an expectation, something that should be bubbling up from what
Heuristic,
is needed.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Could you talk a bit more about the questionnaires they took home? Would someone like to do? Can you address that, Kathy, or someone? Yes, Daniel? Could you tell me what kind of questions? You took questionnaires home, I believe, when you made the change. Can you remember the kind of questions that were asked?
One of the questions, I think it was, like, who do you respect or...
Right,
Who do you honor?
Right. And did they ask you questions about yourself?
Not really.
No, okay. So... everyone filled out one link in the chain about themselves, so with their own name and their word, kindness, or don't say no to people, or something like that.
Well,
and then they also could fill out a link or two with someone they respected, right?
Yeah, so she brought only one from school, but she said you could make more than one chain.
I see.
And I was the only one who made, but there was only one black chain, which was mine.
I see. You mean a black, the paper was black, is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. Was that deliberate on your part?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's symbolic of blackness, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some of the other words that people put on there. We've had kindness and don't say no to people. Let's move around here to Mira. What words did you put? Maybe Uri.
I put kindness and sharing.
Okay. And who was your person that you honored?
I honored Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay. Yeah, I think you told me that already. Yeah. Okay. Well, has anyone else got anything they'd like to add about this?
Well,
yes, Soko.
Another thing is that I contacted Mrs. Hanway, a classroom teacher, to do these activities. And as soon as I hit the sent an email, I realized, well, this is the month of February, and this is a Black History Month. So I wrote another email to Mrs. Hanway right after, saying that, would this be a part of the social studies, what you're already doing to learn about the Black history? And so the instruction sheet that you mentioned earlier, we encourage students to think about the leaders, right, in the community or some to personal and also or the family that would like to mention or honor in relation to the Black history. Mm-hmm. So I really excited to hear about Daniel's, the choice of the Black piece of paper
right.
to be in the chain, and that's
right.
very symbolic.
Right.
And I thought about, again, this is the activities that even kindergartner can do easily.
Right.
And it is a visual effect at the school
right,
lunchroom.
Right, right.
And also another
very
instruction.
Very festive look to it.
Right. Another instruction that was on the worksheet was that encouraged the fourth, perhaps third, fourth, fifth graders to think about just not one loop, but connect something else. What I mean by that is that perhaps that books that they read, it inspires them,
mm-hmm.
right? Right. So that maybe that the title of the book or the author, so that you can share when we display in the lunchroom, they can take a look in the loop and say, wow, I never thought about that. So when I go through those each loops, I see the former president named Barack Obama or former First Lady Michelle Obama. There are many, many names that the children recognize that they are perhaps has been acted as a role model for them.
Right.
So it was very inspiring.
Yes, I believe President Obama's name came up many times on this chain I read. Yes. Okay, well, this sounds like a really fun project and a really inspiring one. Is the chain still up in the cafeteria?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. But some people knock it down sometimes, so we had to tape it up instead of just taping it together.
I see. Yeah. They do fall down easily. I remember that. Okay, well, this certainly sounds like a lot of fun. And did you learn a lot from it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. These are students from Edwards School along with, yes, Daniel wants to say something else.
I also thought the Unity Train brought us together because there was a whole lot of Black children and white children in the school. And to me, that kind of felt like they brought us all together.
Mm-hmm. Since you've made this chain and you've been thinking about things like kindness and not saying no to people when they ask you to play and so on, do you think it's made the atmosphere at school a little bit better? Are people being kinder to one another, you think, but one of the chains up there? Is it reminding them to be kind, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
You really think so?
Yeah.
That's very nice. Okay, yeah, we all need to be reminded of these things sometimes. Yeah, I was talking earlier in this program about not calling names. That's something we have to remember, not to call one another nasty names. Yeah, okay. Did anyone write that? No name calling? Well, if you're kind, I guess you don't. Yeah, you don't need to.
I'm pretty sure one kid did.
Uh-huh.
Just one. But, mm-hmm. like, it was either one or two. No name calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's terrific. Has anyone else got anything to add? Yes.
This
is Ailey again.
At school, we have a buddy bench. It's a green bench, and it's you can go sit on it if you don't have a friend, and then people will just come up to you and ask you to play.
Oh, how lovely. That's a lovely idea. And do people sit on that bench a lot? Fair amount.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds a nice idea, yes. Okay. Well, I've been talking to the students at Edwards School along with one of the parents who came up with this idea of the Unity Chain, which is now decorating the cafeteria at Edwards School and is inspiring all the children to be kinder to one another, to respect one another, and to respect our heroes, who've helped us to be unified. Yes, Daniel.
I think maybe, just maybe, some of the teachers put their own unity chain, like a little, like one of their own chain connectors. I think, because I think I saw Mrs. Hanway, which is our teacher, Charlie.
Charlie Hanway, yeah. And she put one, but you don't know what she wrote on it.
No, because I think I was seeing, like, teachers from, like, third grade, fifth grade, fourth grade. And I think, and I'm pretty sure the whole entire school did it.
Oh, that's terrific. So the teachers, the students, any how about the secretaries and the other workers at the school? Did they take part, too?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
But the teachers and the students did. Okay. Well, this sounds like a fun project and a very inspiring project, and it sounds like you got a lot out of it. And it fits in with a regular curriculum. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, all of you. Now, Ethan, since we've got a bit of time left, maybe we could hear a bit more music here.
Yeah, certainly. We will actually go ahead and continue with the theme of former Pantorium Sessions concerts. This time, we will take a listen to Strong Like Bear, who did a Pantorium session where they covered early Pink Floyd songs. This particular one is See Emily Play, and this was performed this previous January, so not too long ago.
This is something a little bit earlier. Sid Barrett played this with a Zippo.
Tries to misunderstand. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. Thank you, guys.
Tell us again who that was, Evan, on that music.
So that was local favorite band Strong Like Bear, who did a cover of early Pink Floyd music at the Pantorium Session concerts that occurred in January of this year. It was actually January 19th that they came and they played, and it was a really fantastic show, and certainly more great shows to come. To conclude today's program, we have one more selection from Ben Schrog and Cal Rebune's Pantorium Sessions concert. The song is titled New Colossus.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores, and these the homeless, tempest tossed to me, I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I lift my lamp. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores, and these the homeless, the tempest tossed to me, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I lift my lamp. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, free.
Well, thank you, Evan. We had some nice music breaks there during our program, which was mostly about school. Well, it was all actually about school issues of inclusivity. This has been Local Talk on KHY Community Radio, a program where we explore people's stories and events in central Iowa. I've been your host, Kay Partick. We've been hearing about the Unity Chain project from students at Edwards School in Ames, and also from a parent, Soko Starobin, who came up with the idea for the project. We also heard from Sandra Zapata of Project Iowa. Local Talk's theme is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you'd like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khuifm.org. We're always looking for more reporters. And whatever your interests are, I'm sure we can probably fit them into Local Talk. Or just drop by the studio at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames. We are always welcome. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. This show was engineered by Evan Taylor, who is also a guest today. The show will air again at noon and at 7 p.m. today. You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khuifm.org. You'll find this show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster is able to post it. And KHUI is streaming online at khuifm.org, where you can also find archives of KHUI's other shows. And now stay tuned for Morning Masterpieces. And please remember that you, as listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.